over the line. Here's McAvoy, pulls it around to check. Left circle, Schaller, center, and score! What a gorgeous play out in front as McAvoy drifted the high slot, sent it to the near circle for Tim Schaller, and Riley Nash popped in his second of the night to tie it at two.
98.5 The Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. The Bruins, arguably the best team in hockey, 1 point out of first place.
2 games in hand.
With yep. 2 games in hand as they win again last night. Joe Haggerty covers the team for NBC Sports Boston.
All of a sudden you're getting clicks, Joe. People care about the team all of a sudden.
I always get clicks, Rich. Come on now.
It's Captain Clicks.
Well, now? All right, so let's talk about this. Trade deadline, you know, the Rangers are shopping McDonough. That's what we've been led to believe. And there's certain scenarios that have been handed out. You look at the way Sweeney made this team and the way that it's going ahead of schedule. Do you part with NHL young talent to get a guy like McDonough?
No, I would trade carefully with Ryan McDonough and getting him. Obviously, you know, he fits a need in a lot of different ways for the Bruins. He would really solidify a top four for the Boston Bruins into a real, you know, playoff battle-hardened top four defenseman core that you could be ready to, you know, go to war with in the Stanley Cup playoffs. And it would really vastly improve your back end to have a guy that's a number one on another team, a captain, does everything well. I mean, Ryan McDonough is a stud defenseman. There's no doubt about it. But it's not a vacuum, right? You've got to give up a lot to get him. And Jeff Gorton's going to look to maximize for the Rangers the return if he is going to trade Ryan McDonough. And, you know, most of the trade scenarios that get thrown out there by fans and people that really want Ryan McDonough to be a member of the Boston Bruins, they're just not realistic.
Right.
He's going to hold out for Jake DeBrusk, Danton Heinen, you know, players that are really helping you out now and are part of the DNA of your NHL team. You're not going to get Ryan McDonough for Jakub Zboril, Zach Sinishin, and a first-round pick, you know. And I think that's where the difficulty comes in for Don Sweeney is you really want this player, not only for now, but Ryan McDonough would be an outstanding replacement for Zdeno Chara when and if he does leave at some point in the future. You know, whether it's a year from now, whether it's a couple years from now, you have a player that can step in and kind of be the veteran head of that defenseman corps. So, you know, that it makes sense in a lot of ways, but I would tread very carefully about altering the DNA of this hockey team right now too much because they are onto something special. You know, they're going into the playoffs as one of the hottest teams, you know, in a couple months from now, and the young players are really even ahead of schedule too, and you know, I wouldn't do it. I think I would look more towards the wing and getting a player that's going to help you there, whether it's a Rick Nash, whether it's a Patrick Maroon, Michael Grabner, a guy like that that can help probably a bigger need going into the playoffs, getting more size and strength and a little more scoring punch on the wing than, you know, shooting for the moon and getting the defenseman. The other thing, Fred, is Steve Yzerman and the Tampa Bay Lightning want Ryan McDonough. And I think they're going to be able to outbid the Bruins for him. I think they're going to be able to outmaneuver the Bruins for him. And, you know, I think at the end of the day, if the Tampa Bay Lightning really want that player, they're going to be able to make it happen a little more easily and readily than the Bruins are. Because the Tampa Bay Lightning are in much more win-it-now mode with the team that they have, I think, than the Bruins this season.
Yeah, I agree with you. I wouldn't stray from the plan. But you do have a surplus of young talent in the AHL. I wouldn't be afraid to give up that or picks, but what about DeBrusk? What is the word on him as he plays right now in the USA in a very exciting game against Slovenia? Are up 2-1 with very little time left in the third, as John wanted this on TV. What are you hearing about DeBrusk?
Oh no, Donato.
Donato. I'm sorry, not DeBrusk. Donato. I'm sorry, Donato.
Well, Donato, I mean, obviously he's going to be one of the big scoring or expected to be one of the big scoring guys for that Team USA. He's having a fantastic year at Harvard. It's been like a goal-per-game pace for them. And truthfully, honestly, going into this year, when you watched him in development camp last year, he and Anders Bjork were the best two players in Bruins development camp. He was really ready, I think, to go pro last summer at the end of last year after playing at Harvard and could have. And, you know, maybe certainly part of the reason he wanted to go back and play one more year at Harvard and, you know, and experience that and potentially play with his brother. I know he had talked about that. And he also wanted, he knew that there was a realistic chance he could play at the Olympics if he stayed in school. And so that was another reason, a good reason to do it. But I don't think there's any doubt in my mind that once he's done with the Olympics here, once he's done with college, that he's going to be turning pro for the Bruins. And he's going to be another one of those wingers, highly skilled wingers, top prospects that they're going to be able to add to the cupboard. And, you know, this speaks to your point, Fred, that they are going to have to part with some of these prospects, and they should, to get NHL-ready talent from other teams. They can't play all of these guys. You know, right. They've got such a wealth of talent, especially on the wing and certainly on the left side of their defense, that they can part with some of these guys to make some moves, and I think they will. The problem now is, though, and like I referenced before, there teams like the Rangers aren't going to want the guys that are in the minor leagues or the guys that are just coming out of college, like the Trent Fredericks and the Ryan Donatos of the world. They're going to want Danton Heinen, Jake DeBrusk, Brandon Carlo, the guys that are on your NHL team right now that have established themselves and are still cheap and affordable and on those entry-level contracts. And, you know, that's where you get into a real treacherous territory if you're done.
But does Donato play for the Bruins, for the NHL Bruins this year?
I don't think so. I think he goes to the AHL. I don't think he's ready quite to make that jump. And, you know, we saw this with Anders Bjork, right? He was a stud at Notre Dame last year, was one of the best players in college hockey. And, you know, he certainly experienced his difficulties making the transition to the pros this season before he went down to the AHL. And the same thing with Danton Heinen 2 years ago. He came out of the University of Denver, was a very highly touted college hockey player, and really struggled at the beginning of last year at the NHL level when he made the team. It was scoreless in 8 games. Had to go down in Providence for a year, really develop his game, figure out how to be how to battle more in pro hockey, and how to win battles along the boards, play a little bit more of a physical game than he did in college, and that he had to do that every single shift to be successful. And I think that's probably a learning curve that Ryan Donato is going to have to go through as well.
All right, so can you put this all in perspective for us, how your expectations have changed over this streak that they've been on, or this just rampage over the last couple of months? What are your expectations now when you look at how this team is formed and how they're playing?
Well, the expectation is they're going to go on a run in the playoffs, and I think that's changed. You know, I think at this point, you'd still be, I think, satisfied if you're a fan, if they get into the second round of the playoffs and if they win a round and make that advancement from last year. And, I still think at the end of the day that may be where, you know, they end up. It's a legit question to ask if this team is peaking too soon at this time of the year with the way that they're playing, because, you know, they're playing 16 games in March. They're playing every other day pretty much once they get on the west coast of Canada from then on in. And I think that grind is going to be very difficult for them. And I think the wins are going to and the points are going to be a little more difficult to come by.
You know, you need sometimes a guy with a little bit of attitude.
Dutcher and Rich.
Embarrassing to America.
One radio station. 98.5. Sports Hub.
Instead of going out buying those little heart-shaped candies, give your girlfriend or your wife a box of Snickers. You see what I mean? They last a long time. And nothing like chewing on that caramel and the nuts. I'll tell you, it's good. It lasts longer. And plus, here's a tip for Mr. T. Valentine's Day really should be every day. I pity the fool who have to wait to Valentine's Day to tell his girlfriend or wife that he love her and buy a box of candy. He should do that every day. Enough is enough. It's time for Mr. T to get tough. There's gonna be pain if men don't start acting like men again. To those suckers who use fake tan and facial creams. To those fools who wear tight skinny jeans. To those punks who carry man bags. To those guys who want to be in fashion mags. You better listen up to my top tips to avoid a fat lip. You've been warned, so you better start running, because Mr. T and Snickers are coming. Snickers, get some nuts. Get some nuts!
Thank you, Paul Stanley. Appreciate it. I knew you'd appreciate that commercial, Paul Stanley.
I do! Mr. T and I have something in common!
Yes, you do.
All right. By the way, Mr. T would not like me because yesterday I got the old back waxed in anticipation for the Disney cruise.
Painful?
It's awful. Okay. It's terribly awful. And the worst thing about it is that every woman will tell you that it's not bad. And I say I'd rather have a... First of all, your legs can't hurt that badly. And second of all, if it's like a bikini wax, I would rather have, you know, 5 minutes of intense pain than a half an hour, over a half an hour of grueling pain.
So do they put the wax on your entire back first?
No. And then, you know what's fun is the sides. That's pinch your side and then feel the wrath.
Did you numb yourself at all before you went?
No.
A little self-medication?
No, I don't think it'd do any, it wouldn't do any good. I mean, you could be hammered, still hurt.
Mm.
There's nothing you can really do about it.
Well,
I guess you could take a bunch of pain pills or something to go in there, but
you're slippery like a dolphin right now.
First of all, guys, apparently if you get your chest waxed, which I would never do in a million years again, I contend, much like men like breasts, women should love hairy chests because they don't have them. You know, that should be something that reeks of masculinity. I was watching with my children Smokey and the Bandit the other day, and I'm like, Reynolds was the man.
Oh, sure. You know, Christofferson and Convoy? I mean, that's what machismo was.
You would show chest hair. I mean, David Lee Roth, sure, he groomed it, but it was there.
Gelled it.
First of all, your nipples would be such a situation that I couldn't even handle it. And also, apparently, you bleed out when they do your chest. In your back, you don't bleed. But on your chest, you bleed out. Your stomach, oh, my God. It's not worth it.
No.
Like, because the middle of your back doesn't hurt. Like, the lower back doesn't hurt. I mean, it hurts, but it's not, like, excruciating.
Are you walking around feeling like you have a sunburn?
Nah. Okay. I've had it done now. But it's funny, they're like, you know, it will get less, like, the more you do it. And I saw the strips, like, after they had taken the hair off, and it looked like a Wookiee.
It looked like an Ewok exploded.
Yeah, it looked like it. And so I'm like, when? And I said to the woman who I like, I'm like, she's done it every time. This is my third one. I'm like, when does this stop? And she's like, well, the more often you do it. I'm like, well, I don't want to do this all the time.
Right. Like, the less time painful. You have your hair to grow, the less hair there will be. Is that what she's saying?
Yes.
Well, okay. Well, thank you.
You want to look?
Appreciate that. You take it like Scott Zolak comes in, and scene from Oz, reaches down his shirt and starts rubbing his shoulders.
Yeah, that's nice, huh?
Yeah. That's right. And he pats him on the shoulder.
I actually don't mind when he massages.
It seems like a prison movie.
Now we're talking.
This seems like a prison movie.
I like it when
he
massages.
This is a bonding moment right here.
Yes. No.
No.
Now he's trying to crack his neck.
No.
What is it about cracking the back and the neck?
I don't want
that.
I don't want you to crack my neck.
That's Andy.
I'll let you massage me. I'm not going to let you crack my neck.
That is Andy Dufresne. And Shawshank getting beaten up.
That was bad right there.
That did not look good.
I do not want my neck. He always wants to crack my neck.
I don't understand that. Well, he's got an obsession with that.
It's like the way that, you know, people like to pop pimples.
Yeah.
It's like the same thing. He wants to crack my neck. Anyway, so Troy Brown was on the show yesterday. And there was a couple of very funny moments. And one, we're not going to replay the whole thing, obviously. But here is his thoughts on Larry Izzo. Who was the gross one? The guy that would take dumps?
Izzo.
How gross was Izzo?
He knew that immediately.
Izzo was gross.
Okay.
I think he was proud of it. He had some crowning moments as being gross.
Okay. What did Izzo? I'm fascinated by Izzo. What were some things that he would do?
One of the things he was known for in the locker room was just he would go to the bathroom, and he would drop a deuce on him. He would come back out, and he would like, Izzo, you know you didn't wash your hands, you know. And then it would be pretty obvious, like he didn't wash his hands.
But he
would be like a guy. He's a guy that he actually took a dump on the sidelines. So actually did it one time in his clothes. He would pee on himself. So, and he was like proud of it, like he didn't like have any. Any
shame
about it. No shame about it whatsoever. He was and he stood there like, what's the problem?
Is it true that he got
like
a game ball?
A big soccer ball size stain in the back of his pants. You know, guys stood there like, you know, guys are calling him. We had guys that was like, during the game, man. The guy's like, I can't really say the word on the air, but they were calling like, doo-doo, man. They would use the other word, you know, so, but
right.
It was like, doo-doo, man, during the game. So, and he was just standing there, like, waiting to go in the game.
Like, just like it was nothing.
Like, dude, did you drop a deuce in your pants, man? Really? During the game? he actually had the guys, like, take a thing, like, he did it on the side. He, like, did a whole crap on the sidelines, dude. Like, could you just run inside to the bathroom? Like, I mean, it, I think we'd be able to find somebody to put in there for you or something if we need to.
Was it in a bucket or just right on the, just right on the ground?
It was like in a bucket or something, man. On the, like, you just, like, had guys hold a towel, like, around him, and he just did it right there on the ground.
All right, so that was
man.
Larry Izzo. He would go to the bathroom in his pants, and then before the game, which is odd and sounds unreasonably uncomfortable, but that is how he chose to live his life. And a caller made an interesting question, gave us an interesting question about our own Jermaine Wiggins, part of the Beasley family now. Did you know he's from East Boston?
Have you heard that?
Yeah, East Boston, yeah.
Has he informed you of that a thousand times?
Yeah, he had some jackets and stuff made when he was playing, too, like East Boston's Finest. stuff. He had the big bombers and stuff, you know. Oh, had the East Boston's Finest on it and Wiggy this and Wiggy that. So he's a classic, man. He's a good dude, man. Good heart.
Yeah, he's a nice
guy. Yeah.
Good heart, but his brain.
He's a piece of work. But he's in West Virginia talking that crazy talk, too, man. Like, oh, man, I'm Wiggy, man. And we see East Boston's Finest, you know. I can do everything. I'm the Jerry Rice of tight ends. And
no, you're not. You are absolutely not that.
You're like 250 pounds in your upper body and about 30 pounds in your lower body. Your legs are like sticks, man. You know, just,
you skip leg day.
Yeah, but he was a pretty good player though, man. I like Wiggy, man. One of the funniest things that happened to him too is, like, Bill found some old. He found some old clips because Wiggy's always talking junk about how great he was. He found some old clips of Wiggy when he was playing at East Boston, like playing basketball, playing football, and he was actually playing quarterback in one of the games, and it was like the funniest stuff because he would, like, take the snap from the quarterback. He wouldn't drop back, take the snap and stand straight up and hold the ball like this. and then, like, throw it to some dude. Like, he was, like, bigger than everybody on the team.
Bill found these clips?
He found these clips. I don't know how he did it, man, but he found these clips, and he showed them in the team meeting.
What does Wiggins do? Like, how does Wiggins take that?
More publicity for Wiggy. He probably loved this.
No.
That's not the guy you want.
Yeah, he didn't want those on there, but, you know, he was dogging the kids, too, man. He was so much bigger than everybody. He showed some basketball clips of him playing basketball. Yo. And, yeah, his game was pretty bad.
Is there any better place to be a huge guy that has any kind of athletic ability than Boston? Like, immediately you dominate.
Yeah.
Like, to play prep football and be the size of Jermaine Wiggins in East Boston, it's unfair. Like, Bird played for the...
scored a touchdown.
Scored a touchdown for, like, for a two... He was on a two-time Super Bowl champion.
Yeah.
At Everett.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he, in Florida, he doesn't see the field.
No, it's
in Georgia,
probably true.
He doesn't see the field.
No, anywhere south of D.C.
I mean, he's big, like, but he's not tall. Like, mm-hmm. He wasn't like an offensive lineman or a tight end or something. There's no way. Even in Michigan, like, he's not on a team that wins a 5A championship.
Are you saying Massachusetts is devoid of 5-star prospects?
Yes.
Okay.
That is a matter of fact.
We tend to dominate on the defensive side of the ball, Fred. We have offensive linemen were great.
Well, BC has great offensive linemen.
And some of them are from Massachusetts.
Two?
Maybe.
Two every year?
Two, three?
Let's put it this way.
Get up on your knees.
Yeah.
Get up on your knees.
Put it this way. Like, Florida State's not raiding Massachusetts for prospects.
No, they're not. Usually Boston College, Rutgers, those places. That's who raids Massachusetts.
And Rutgers has developed into the Big Ten. They've really
dominated.
Got in there.
Oh, sure.
Manja. I mean, Z.
I could just picture him. Like, the coach was just like, you play quarterback. Like, you're 10 times taller than everyone else on the team. You can see over the line. All right, here's the CBS Sportsman. Oh, I already did this. All right, here are the headlines.
98.5, the Sports Hub. Sports Hub.
Admit it. Toucher. It turns you on.
And Rich.
Every mother's dream.
Toucher and Rich.
I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack. Stack, 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 stack.
Stack, 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 98.5, the Sports Hub. We are Toucher Rich. So Trump had sex with Stormy Daniels.
Well, what just came out was that Trump's lawyer admitted that he paid Stormy Daniels $130,000, and he's saying it's out of his own pocket.
Yeah,
and that's to protect people, I would think.
Well, he said that he... he, you know, was in, like, the FEC. It's, like, all cool and everything, but... So he paid $130,000. So
yeah, this is
so basically Trump had sex with Stormy Daniels. Yeah. Not that I can blame him.
Well, it says Trump's longtime personal lawyer said on Tuesday that he had paid $130,000 out of his own pocket to Stormy Daniels, and that was back in 2006 when this was supposed to happen. Right, he had the relationship. Where, right, was it right after Barron was born or right before Barron
right,
was born?
Right after.
Right after.
Is Barron's that going to alter how people think of him? His face?
No.
At all?
No.
Well, I mean,
out of all the allegations, I mean, this is one that I can understand.
But this is also something that had been denied, and now he's admitted that.
I still don't think it matters if he denied it.
Of course, it doesn't matter.
But it is interesting.
Nothing matters. But I will tell you this: is that in very funny presidential news. BuzzFeed is getting sued by like a Russian agency for giving out the dossier of that British intelligence agent that talked about the P tape.
Oh yeah, and I guess they're going all in.
Yeah. They're like, nope,
we're gonna find.
They're like,
nope.
We're not paying you anything.
We believe the P tape exists, and we're going to find it.
They have security experts that were like government agents, like going into like full on investigation mode. So my dream. Of the Trump P-tape going public, which again won't matter, but it's fine. Listen, I like the way that the economy's been going as much as anybody. Listen, fill my pockets, that's fine. But I will tell you this, is that regardless of your political affiliation, I think that we can all agree that a sitting president, a P-tape coming out...
It would be strange.
It would be fantastic. It would be the funniest thing that ever happened in the history of the world, short of a foot fetish.
Like a Rex Ryan situation, where a video came out where
everyone knows that out of all the sexual proclivities, the foot fetish
is
by far the most humorous.
Well, when I imagine it, DA being a part of it, it makes it 10 times funnier.
Those teeth just gleaming.
Good old DA.
Yeah.
By the way, I during the commercial break, it was just scanning over. I have not read the entire thing. I think, Wallach, I saw you post this article yesterday.
Yeah.
But once again, Danny Ainge is brilliant. Remember when everyone was screaming for his head because he didn't want Markel Fultz? He traded that number one pick. There's an article that's in the phillyvoice.com.
Yeah, I read that, yeah.
See, I haven't read the entire thing. I've read part of it, but all I know is that...
I couldn't make it through. Okay, I mean, it lasted
somebody
forever.
What they did was they had a guy who writes for their paper talk to a ton of people who have been involved with not only the 76ers, but also Markel Fultz's inner circle, and try to figure out at what point and why did he lose his shot, and he can't shoot anymore.
The 76ers are really dumb, because the heart of the article is that when he got injured, he had this shot guru come in and change everything.
Who's just a guy, right? Just like a friend of the family.
Yes. It's 6 weeks in between the summer league and the time he showed up to training camp.
And by the way, he's still employed by Fultz and is still. There was drills that they were doing. I mean, he's got Mackey Sasser. I mean, he's done.
He's been ruined.
First thing I thought of was Alex Guerrero. By the way. That's the first thing I thought of.
Yeah.
Markel Fultz has this guy. Well, no, it's not exactly the same thing, because Fultz has apparently known this guy since he was 11.
But Guerrero's also not teaching Tom Brady technique.
I know, but it's an independent guy. Listen, it's obviously not it's not the same thing, but I mean, they just have this Yahoo that's been, which I just gave you a little taste of Sports Talk Matt. But they have this guy that is not employed by the team that screwed up Fultz in the first place. Working with them, and one of the things that they do is that they're using different sized balls.
Yeah, three different sized balls.
That's part of it.
Yeah.
Which I guess my read on that is it would be a confidence builder, like if you use a smaller ball, but it also makes me think that you're completely screwing it up. Yes, that the consistency. Your shot depends exactly. Listen, I coach youth basketball. Your shot is really all about consistency, and there's really one way to shoot. Like, there's a correct way to shoot. Now, you could be, someone like Kyrie Irving and, have all this natural talent and it's weird and he can get away with it.
Sure.
But your shot is all about consistency. So wouldn't you want the same size ball every time so you're consistent with your shot?
And there was nothing wrong with it.
He was
scoring 20 points a game in the summer league. There was nothing wrong with his shot when he got hurt.
I literally have never heard of people using different size balls. And the only way that I think that you could justify that correctly or incorrectly, is that it would be a confidence builder.
It's one of the worst shots I've seen from a professional, like a player in the NBA. Like, what you have seen before he obviously got hurt, taken off.
Jamal Wilkes.
I don't know, man. Him shooting free throws is painful to watch.
Bill Cartwright. Was he flipped the ball
used
his right hand.
I'll have to Google it.
Yeah, Bill Cartwright had an ugly shot. But Lonzo Ball's got a crap shot, too.
But it's not like this. And by the way...
No, it's not as jerky, but he... if you were an average person and shot the ball like Lonzo Ball's shot is wrong. Like everything would go right. Like you're not face up to the basket. Like the idea is that you're face up to the basket and you're following through and like ladling it into the hoop.
At this point, and he got hurt over the summer. At this point, he's only able to take shots in the lane.
Yep. And the thing is,
with his offhand.
And the 76ers are apparently so desperate now to get his shot back that they're trying to go high tech. They've got this virtual reality program that they have him on with these virtual reality goggles that help him visualize the mechanics that he's going to use in a game. Like, they've gone nuts.
I can just
it's Steph the Curry height of frustration.
Steph Curry uses something that's like a series of lights. That you put on these goggles and it's all these lights and they're supposed to
what does that do exactly?
Help your brain to identify things more quickly.
It's so you can shoot without the glare of the cameras that are around
No. There's something like intrinsically deeper than that. Like it's supposed to train your brain in some fashion. It's not about anything. It's a way of training your brain.
Okay, let's say you've got all of that. Because we know that you're right. In summer league he was fine. I want to know what Danny knew. I want to know what was the thing that tipped him off to realize that there was potential.
I don't think
that this could happen.
I don't think he knew at all. He looked fine.
I mean, Fultz looked fine when he first played in the summer league.
No, I understand that, but maybe he saw the circle of people around him and the people that he trusted and realized these guys don't know what they're talking about.
I don't think so. I think he knew. I think it's just as simple. He knew he could get Tatum at three
and he
got an asset afterwards. As a matter of fact, we had him on. Right after that, and that's what he said.
What do you think he's going to say?
No,
like if he knew that something was really jacked up,
I'm telling you, he's telling the truth.
But there was nothing wrong with Markelle Fultz at the time.
But were there warning signs that something like this could happen?
No.
Wanted Tatum. He'd made up his mind. Tatum was the best player in the draft, and you know what? He was right. Jonathan Isaac has not come to fruition yet.
No, although he was 3 years.
I understand that, and Orlando had a fire sale at the deadline, and Isaac was an untouchable, by the way.
Yes.
But he knew Tatum was the best player in the draft, in his opinion, so he's like, okay, Philadelphia, you want to jump up and take Fultz? We can still get Tatum at three because Magic Johnson's going to take Ball. We'll get that extra first-round pick, whether it be the Lakers pick or the Kings pick next year, and we'll be fine.
But just a little bit, I've read of this article, and I've read like a quarter, because it's huge. It's very, I mean, they did a great job, obviously, very deep.
It was Bill Simmons-esque.
Simmons
would have been proud of this.
You feel awful for Markelle Fultz. Like, that's the one thing. You feel awful for the guy.
It was boring.
Was it boring?
It wasn't boring, but it was long enough that I gave up about three quarters of the way through.
It was a Bill Simmons guy.
It was.
Just laborious and boring.
10,000
words. There was not a Breakfast Club reference.
No.
Yeah, with stupid, easy analogies. Good for him. He's doing great right now. All right. We'll be back in just a moment.
Stay tuned for more Toucher and Rich on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
We are Toucher and Rich. And it's obviously Valentine's Day because people are talking about, they're posting things on Facebook with their loved one, which makes you know that everything's okay.
I have to get the ashes today. Got to get the big dot.
Yep.
What is today?
Ash Wednesday.
Okay.
It's Ash Wednesday and Valentine's Day. It's the beginning of Lent. So you have
to give something up?
You don't have to give something up. It's like you either give something up or you do something for others. It's just kind of a way of remembering the suffering of
You're doing pucks and battles.
Yeah, that's part of it.
That's all you have to do then.
So I'll just put the check mark in there. And say, I did everything I needed to do.
Check mark. No, there's a form you have to fill out.
God's check mark.
When you go in, it's a check mark.
It essentially is. It essentially is.
But there's always somebody that forgets that today's Ash Wednesday because you always get asked what's on your head. You know, what is that that's on your head? And, you know, you're always very nice, but most of the time, it's supposed to be a cross. It never looks like a cross.
No, it starts to, like, looks like you, like, fell face first into a grill.
No, my sister used to call it Father's Revenge. It would just go over the forehead, and you just hit black, the whole head, top of your head would be a black smear.
All right, now, are you giving something up for Lent?
My wife thought of something new is that every week we tried to do something different. I think it's more about trying to help others than it is about giving something up.
All right. As long as you don't have to give up masturbation.
That would be tough. Now you're making me think of that, and that's not very good.
Yeah. Well, now it's on the table.
And now I have to. Now that you mentioned it, now it's done. Let it be written.
But you don't do that anyway, right?
I do not. I try not to. You're not supposed to. So, try to be a good boy.
That's fascinating to me that you're not supposed to. Like, now.
Sure. Definitely not when the ratings come out.
Scott Zolak in studio.
What's up, Scott?
What's up, Juan?
Come on. Awesome to see you. No, it's all right. Sorry, you got a bigger arm than I do. I'm going to put this right here where it can do no damage. Mm-hmm.
Scotty Z.
What are you giving up for Lent?
Making fun of Walk.
Okay, all right. That will never happen.
No. Beating up nerds.
Well, lucky me.
Fun of nerds.
Wow. Thanks, Scott.
I got to think about it. I got to think about this.
Are you Catholic?
No.
Okay.
Russian Orthodox.
Okay, we don't have to give up.
No, we do do Lent.
Do you Lent as well? Okay.
We don't do the Ash stuff.
Oh, okay. Yeah, the Ash Wednesday.
Yeah.
Yeah, I grew up Methodist, and we never did any of that.
I don't think, yeah. I don't know what religions other than Catholic do Ash Wednesday.
Let's get something you really like. Like, you know, like booze.
But, you know, I've learned later on in my years.
Yeah,
that would be Paul Stanley. I don't think he's Catholic.
Gone with Kalec!
That's right.
The funniest thing, okay, so we did this thing. Have you ever had a weird celebrity encounter in honor of this guy who worked at Whole Foods and said Ray Allen was a jerk.
Back in the day.
This guy told a story about how he was backstage at a Paul Stanley and Bruce Kulick show, which right there is the greatest story of all time, that you were there. Like, this is a good idea.
Nah.
And then he apparently was in a bathrobe and did a Sharon Stone from Basic Instinct. Show my balls!
That's what he did.
Fruit salad!
Okay, yes, he did.
We were out.
Grandma's tongue!
We were out in L.A. for a while, and this is way back before we had kids, and I remember walking down Marina Del Rey, and it's like this outdoor shopping center, and this guy's smoking a cigarette, and he's leaning against the wall over, and he's got this long blonde, and I'm like, holy crap, that's Gary Busey right there. And nobody's talking to him. I walk over, and I go, I know who you are. And I'm like, come on, do that, act that one that you're the crazy guy in the boat, and they take over the boat, remember? And
I was
like,
oh, Under Siege.
Under Siege, and he started doing it, and he's like, I'm like, wow, this is weird, man. Yeah, dude, it's L.A., man. No, yeah, you blend out here.
He's like a maniac. We had him in studio one time.
He's like crazy sick, like, woo.
I told you the one time that we had him in studio. I was working on this show called The Kid Craddock Show, and he goes, should we take Gary Busey? And I was like, absolutely take Gary Busey. He goes, I don't know if I want to do that. So I convinced him to bring him in studio. He showed up, and the guy's name was Kid, the host. Now, the studio is kind of set up like this, except Wallach would be like a cross. Like, you had to actually go around. There was a circle. So Gary Busey goes, hey, kid, you ever heard of the game Tickle and Pee? And he goes, what? What are you saying? Tickle and Pee. So no, what's that? He goes, it's where I, and in mid-sentence, he runs across and runs around the console and picks up Kid. He goes, it's where I tickle you till you pee, and just starts throwing him around, and just Kid's face turns white, like, stop this. And it goes on for like a agonizingly long, like 20 seconds. He didn't say, and then he went over there and just looked like somebody had killed his puppy.
Tickle and pee.
Yeah, I understand that. Yes.
Gene and I used to go out and make Peter crispy.
Yes.
Hey, Mo. It's like it's a weird slow day. Like, I need something.
Yeah, yeah, okay. I'll give you a little Hey, Mo. I'll give you a little Hey, Mo.
All right. All right. What do you got going today?
Bertrand, me, and Hardy are in. And Jim Louse back. He had the day off yesterday. And we're going to figure some stuff out today. Sports-wise.
You said that I posted a picture of him yesterday. Jim Lowe.
Oh, did you see that?
Yeah. Have you ever seen the King Cake Baby, the mascot for the Pelicans?
No.
Yes.
It's the greatest mascot of all time. It's legitimately terrifying.
I love that thing.
I have a friend who lives in New Orleans.
It looks
and
like
he goes,
Jim Lowe.
Everyone waits for the King Cake Baby to come. It's a gigantic baby with the most evil-looking
face. Jim looks
like
baby.
Okay. Well, he comes out, and he says he can't wait for that moment in every Pelicans game because it legitimately scares the kids.
Yeah.
Like, the kids start crying.
It's creepy.
When the King Cake Baby comes out. So, yeah, so there you go. So, and then you said it looked like Jim Louth.
Yeah, it did.
All right.
Like Jim Louth walk around in a diaper. It looks like Jim Louth.
All right. Well, enjoy the show. That'll
Brad
do
Stevens.
It for us.
Hey, Brad Stevens on today with us. Don't forget.
All right.
There you go. And Pucks and Paddles coming
tomorrow.
What
time is that tomorrow?
Five. Four.
You're going to have a busy day, my friend.
Four. Is it four?
Well, we're only doing one thing.
No, don't you have the boat show tomorrow?
No, somebody didn't tell me they got double booked on the same day.
That's really?
Not a good thing.
All right.
I don't feel great.
A book show?
I'm not doing both.
A boat show's a fun
one
game.
One or the other.
Well, you got to do Pucks and Paddles because the person donated the money.
They donated money for charity.
Oh, boy.
Here we go.
You're not going to do Pucks and Paddles?
Whoa.
Who's running Pucks and Paddles?
That would be the Tufts Floating Medical. Of course it's for
not.
Children.
I'm not going to let kids down.
Okay. Well,
I'll
thank
be
you.
For kids.
There
somebody,
it is.
Because somebody's depending on you to be. Our listeners are. But we sold you were going to be there.
I'm going to be there.
You were going to play beer pong with guys. I mean, you talked this up pretty big.
Shut up, Nick.
All right. Well, everything is a mystery.
Okay.
Everyone have a great day. They'll do
all
it
right.
For us. Bye.